Told you guys I was going to deal with the subject of when Christ comes back to the earth. And we are going to deal with that. Go to Revelation chapter 20, the last book of the Bible, Revelation 20. Now, what we did is tonight, we had a chart, another one of the little charts that we minimized. We put it on a half page so that you could put it in the front of your Bible if you want to, or back of your Bible. But the charts, I hope my ushers are ready with those charts, because we missed a lot of people, I think, when they came in. Because they didn't know to hand them out. So we kind of started handing them out late. So if we missed you and you don't have a chart, Zach, can you bring me up in the A's? It sounds like there's nothing there. All right, bring me up. There we go. Lift your hand up high if we missed you, okay? If you need a chart, just lift your hand up high. I figured there'll be quite a few hands because we missed a lot of people. So keep them up real high. And we'll hand those charts out to you, and you can get those, all right? All righty. Basic timeline. Can we bring that up? Basic timeline up here. All right, here we go. Now, this is what we gave you a few weeks ago. When you study your Bible, you got to know where you're at, all right? Otherwise, it can be very confusing. Dwayne, we still got a lot of people over here with their hands up. See all those? All these people back here? Okay, you got to know where you're at when you're studying. Now, you look up here at the chart, and this is a real, real basic chart that lays out Old Testament, and then you come here and you've got a pointer that doesn't work. Okay, here's the cross, and then Christ ascends up to heaven. And that's where he's at now. He begins to call out the body of Christ, this church age, the time of grace, the parentheses. It ends with the rapture. He comes back down 7 years later. Right here, before preceding the thousand-year kingdom, there'll be a seven-year tribulation period of wrath, that God pours out wrath on the earth. We want to focus on this right here when Christ comes down to the earth and establishes that thousand-year kingdom. Now, Revelation 20 is going to kind of lay this out. Look at it with me. Revelation 20, verse 1. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him, how long? 1,000 years, cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus. That's talking about in here, in this time period, many will lose their life because of their stand for Christ. And he said, I saw those that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, that's the Antichrist, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or their hands. So these people here that wouldn't take the mark of the beast, they're resurrected. Now they were beheaded, but they're resurrected. Now they're here. And notice it says, and they lived and reigned with Christ, how long? 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ. And notice it says, and shall reign with him. Here it is again. I mean, this is like the fifth time we see the phrase, they're going to reign with him a 1,000 years. Verse 7, and when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. Now, look up here. We call this right here the millennial kingdom. And the reason why we call it that is because the word millennium, when you break it down, it basically means 1,000 year. So we call it the millennial. You know, when the year 2000 came, we started a new millennium, right? And so the word millennium means 1,000 years. So when we talk about the millennial kingdom, the millennial reign, what we mean is the 1,000-year rule and reign of Jesus Christ right here on planet Earth. Now, what is important to understand about this is that when he comes back down here, okay, and establishes that kingdom, and Christ the Messiah, the King, rules and reigns on the earth, that's not something that God just thought of spontaneously. All right, that's not something that God's up in heaven and he after the rapture, God's up here and he says, you know what? I think it'd be a good idea if you went down there and took over, you know, and okay, let's do that. No, I mean, it's not something they just thought of. All right, this is this event right here, when he comes down and establishes that kingdom, that has been prophesied, the Bible says, since the world began. Since even Job, before there was any written word, had the knowledge, talks about my Redeemer is going to stand upon the earth. And so even back before there was a written word, the prophets understood that Christ would one day, or that the Messiah, God, would one day rule over the earth. Okay, that rule of God on the earth was broken by mankind's sin in the Garden of Eden. But one day that rule of God on earth would be restored. And that the last Adam, Christ, would come and would rule and reign on the earth. So, you know, God made some promises way back here before there was even an Old Testament to Abraham and to his seed, which we know is the nation of Israel. And when you see this event right here happen and he comes down to rule and reign, that is a fulfillment of all those promises that he made back there to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob and to his seed, to Israel. This is a fulfillment of all those promises that God gave in the Old Testament. Jesus Christ is going to literally, this is not a figurative thing, because you'll hear religions out there teach that there's not going to be a literal kingdom on this earth. They teach that there's a spiritual kingdom he's established. There's going to be a spiritual rule of Christ from heaven, which is right now. They say we're in the kingdom right now. Folks, if we're in the kingdom right now, look around. Boy, we're in trouble, aren't we? I mean, if this is the kingdom, man, you know, if this is the rule of Christ on earth right now, we're in trouble, aren't we? I mean, read the morning newspaper, amen? It's not good. They'll say, oh, well, it's a spiritual thing. And they take all these promises back here and they allegorize them and they spiritualize them. And they say that all those promises are being fulfilled now by Christ up in heaven. And that now, you know, those promises, we, instead of Israel getting those literal promises of a kingdom on earth, we, the church, now have replaced Israel. And it's this figurative kingdom, not a literal kingdom over the earth. And of course, that's just ridiculous. I mean, if you look at the Bible, here's what Jesus Christ said. I'm going to bring it up. Can you go to Matthew 25 and can you give me some more in the Azac? Look at this. It says, a little bit more, when the Son of Man shall come in His glory and all the holy angels with Him. This is Jesus talking. He says, the Son of Man's going to come and all the holy angels with Him. Then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. And the next verse says, and all the nations shall be gathered unto Him. Do y'all think Jesus meant what He said and said what He meant? I believe He did. Go with me in your Bible to the end of your Old Testament. Okay, right before Matthew, you got Zechariah. And I want you to go back to the Old Testament prophet, Zechariah. It's right before the last book of the Old Testament, Malachi. Go to Zechariah 14, the last chapter of that book. Zechariah 14. Zechariah 14, and look at verse 9. It says, and the Lord, look at Zechariah 14, 9. And the Lord shall be king over all the what? Earth, in that day shall there be one Lord and His name one. If you go back now to, let's bring up that, I've got a chart, I didn't give you this chart tonight, but I want to bring up the one that says the prophetic program. And I want you all to look at this chart closely. The prophetic program is exactly what it says, what it infers. It's a program that God has prophesied about since the world began, Peter said. The prophetic program began to be prophesied back here in the Old Testament. The prophetic program was talked about, prophesied, predicted, and it would all culminate with a literal kingdom over here, God's kingdom being established over the whole earth, which you just read in Zechariah about the Lord being king over all the earth. That's what we call the prophetic program. It was prophesied over and over again. All through the prophets, they talked about it. And then you come up here to this parenthesis, and this is where we're at. And this is a time period that wasn't prophesied. You're living in that parenthesis. That wasn't prophesied. That was what the Bible calls, look at this, God's what? Mystery program. God says that the time period you're living in was a mystery. It was unprophesied. It was not talked about. It was kept secret since the world began. And then God revealed through Paul this time period that we're living in of God's grace, in which he's calling out a new organism, not Israel, but a new organism called the body of Christ. And so he's forming this body of Christ, the church, which is going to rule and reign in the heavenlies in the ages to come. So God's doing something completely different than the prophetic program today. We're living in the time of the mystery in which he's calling out the body of Christ and forming the body of Christ, which is not Israel. We're not a nation, but rather we are a living organism called the body of Christ. So that's what he's doing today. Notice, look at the screen. We're living in a time period in which this prophetic program that's been talked about over and over back here, we're living in a time in which the prophetic program is what? Interrupted. See, God interrupted the prophetic program with something that he didn't tell anybody about. And it was a mystery. It was kept secret. God kept a secret since the world began. And so we're living in a time in which the prophetic program has been interrupted, and we're living in the mystery time, okay, called the dispensation of grace or the church age, whatever you want to call it. But we know that this parentheses will end eventually. The time of grace will end and we'll be caught out. Now, when we're caught out at the rapture, which we talked about, remember on Sunday morning, a couple of weeks there ago. But when we're caught out at the rapture, then notice it says the prophetic program is going to what? It's going to resume. The prophetic time clock begins to tick again. And you've got the fulfillment, because, you know, and this kind of gets into some stuff that I don't want to confuse you, but you had back here a prophecy that there were going to be 70 more weeks of years of the prophetic program, and then the end was going to come. This was going to happen right here. Well, 69 weeks were fulfilled in the 70th week of years. 7 years never got fulfilled. God called a time out. The prophetic time clock stopped. There's still one more week of years unfulfilled in the prophetic program. So once we're caught out, that will allow that prophetic program to continue. That last week of years, this 7 years, the prophetic program will resume, and then it will culminate. The prophetic program will be fulfilled and will culminate with the revelation of Christ from heaven. He'll come down here to the earth, and it's going to be a fulfillment of all the promises that he gave to the nation of Israel, where they would have a Messiah, a king, who would rule and reign over the entire earth. Now look, when this happens right here, and Christ comes down, the Messiah rules and reigns on the earth, the government of the earth will be theocratic. That is, God himself is going to rule the earth in the personage of Jesus Christ. There will be an absolute, righteous, just rule of God that will be enforced worldwide throughout the earth. He's going to restore his kingdom on earth as it was before the fall of man in the Garden of Eden. You know, Adam was supposed to be God's representative on earth that would be the governor of the earth and that would oversee God's righteous rule on the earth. Adam fell into sin. And so now God's been working to redeem mankind to himself, send his son to do that, accomplish that. And so when Christ returns, he's the last Adam. See, he's the second man, Christ is. He's the one that comes, and the last Adam, Jesus Christ, the man Christ Jesus, is going to come, and he's going to regain for us and for the earth what we lost in the first Adam, okay? And he's going to come and possess that and regain that. And he's not only going to have a literal kingdom on this earth for 1,000 years, but he's going to have a center of his kingdom. You're in Zechariah, right? I want you to go to Zechariah chapter 8, okay? Go to Zechariah chapter 8. And up on PowerPoint, could you bring up Micah 4:2? I believe you have that one. Micah 4:2. All right, look up here. Let's go to the prophet Micah and look what he says here. It says, "And many nations shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord and to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways." Let's go on. "And we will walk in his paths, for the law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Lord from where? Jerusalem." Look at Zechariah 8. And let's go over to verse 3. Zechariah 8, 3. "Thus saith the Lord, I am returned unto Zion, and will dwell, God says, in the midst of Jerusalem. And Jerusalem shall be called a city of truth, and the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain." Go down to verse 21. Verse 21. "And the inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, Let us go speedily to pray before the Lord and to seek the Lord of hosts. I will go also. Yea, many people and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts," where? "In Jerusalem, and to pray before the Lord." Go over to chapter 14 again now. Zechariah chapter 14. All right, look at verse 16. Now, okay, go back to verse 9. Remember what we read in verse 9? "And the Lord shall be king over all the earth," right? Now go to verse 16. "And it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the king, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the feast of tabernacles." And so, if we go back, let's go to the chart that I gave you tonight, and I'll bring it up on the screen, the kingdom postponed. Can we bring that up? Now, this is a great chart right here. This is one of my favorites. It's not one of my favorites because I designed it. It's just a good chart, all right? But this is a good chart. I love charts. And all these charts, you know, we have designed them here in-house to be able to help our people. And most of these, all these, you can find them online too. But this kingdom postponed chart is a great chart because it reinforces what I've been trying to teach you. And that is, you've got this kingdom on earth prophesied back here in the Old Testament. Jesus Christ and the 12 disciples, they come on the earth and they say, "The kingdom is at hand. You know, I'm the Messiah. If you'll receive me, the kingdom is at hand. It's near. You know, it's almost here. There's one more week of years to be fulfilled, and man, the kingdom is there. It's right there at their fingertips." We know that Israel, the Holy Spirit comes, fills the 12. They come here on the day of Pentecost at the beginning of Acts. They gather Israel together. They offer them the kingdom. If you'll just repent, if you'll accept Christ as your Messiah, he'll send Christ back. And the times of restitution will come, and the kingdom will be established. We know that kingdom is offered, but it's rejected. They don't want anything to do. Israel is just as hard-hearted. They're just as bitter. They won't repent. They take the disciples. They beat them. They persecute them. Some of them they martyr and kill. And I mean, they just continue to shed blood, you know. And so they reject it. Well, if you look at the chart here, okay, this parentheses was unprophesied. Remember, it was a mystery. God didn't tell anybody he was going to offer this time of grace. What was going to happen prophetically is that when Israel shook their fist in the face of God and blasphemed the Holy Spirit, when God sent the Holy Spirit, that'd be it. And so now you got the Gentile nations who have shaken their fist in God's face. You got Israel, God's own nation, who have shaken their fist in God's face. What was to happen then, according to prophecy, was that you would have this seven-year period, this last week of years, in which again the kingdom would be declared at hand, but there would be a great time of wrath from God, a great time of judgment on the earth, before then Christ would return, come down to the earth, and establish that kingdom down here on the earth with the 12 ruling and reigning with him in that kingdom. But hidden in God, instead of God bringing the wrath that the world deserved, because the Bible says the whole world was concluded in sin. Israel was concluded in sin. The Gentile nations were concluded in sin. Everybody was concluded and found guilty before God. And instead of God pouring out his wrath and ushering in all of this over here, there's been a 2,000-year grace period in which God said, instead of pouring out my wrath like I prophesied, I'm going to do something I didn't tell anybody about. I am going to offer to the world an unprecedented time of grace, and I'm going to offer to all my enemies in the world the opportunity to accept my Son and be made one with Him and rule and reign with Him in the heavenlies in the ages to come. I'm going to offer my grace freely to every individual in the world on an absolutely equal basis through the merits, through the accomplishments, through the finished work of my Son, Jesus Christ. And friend, you are living smack dab right now in that time of grace. And we better thank God for it. We better thank God for that, that we're living in that time of grace. See, it was unprophesied. And we can get complacent. And we can think this is going to last forever. You know? But it's not. A time of grace is going to end. And that's why we need to be serious about things like walk through Bethlehem. Amen? And we need to be serious about getting the gospel out to people. We need to be serious about telling people about the grace of God, because that time of grace could end at any time. And when that time ends, then you're going to have that time of wrath in which, again, the kingdom will be declared at hand again. And you'll have people going through the earth, again, preaching the kingdom's at hand, the kingdom's at hand. You need to repent. You need to turn to Christ. Multitudes will turn to Christ in this period right here. But then he's going to come back down here to the earth, and he's going to judge his enemies, and those who are his will enter into his kingdom on earth. When that event happens, and Christ brings his kingdom on earth, what's going to happen? I want you to take your Bible, and you're in the Old Testament, so let's kind of stay there. And I want you to look up a few verses here with me in the prophets, in this section that you're in. All right, so let's go back to Ezekiel. You're going to go to the left through a lot of the minor prophets, Hosea, Daniel, and then before the book of Daniel is Ezekiel. Ezekiel's a huge book, so you should be able to find that pretty easily. There's 48 chapters. Go to Ezekiel 34. Ezekiel 34. You're going to go through several minor prophets, you know, little books. Then you're going to come to the huge book of Ezekiel. And notice in Ezekiel 34... if you look up here at the chart, when Christ comes back down here to the earth, remember, this is a fulfillment of all these prophetic promises. And so when Christ comes back down to the earth, you know what he's going to do? He's going to do for Israel what he said he was going to do. He's going to take believers in Israel, the little flock, the believing remnant. He's going to regather them, because remember, they're scattered everywhere because of the Antichrist and all the things going on. He's going to take them. The angels are going to gather them up. They're going to bring them, and they're going to set them in that land area that he promised them called Palestine. And they're never, ever going to be removed out of that land area again. Jerusalem will be the capital of the kingdom. Christ will rule and reign visibly on the throne. And Israel as a nation will be regathered, the believing remnant. And they will be given that entire land area that God promised them way back under Abraham. Look with me at Ezekiel 34, and I'll show you this. Look at verse 11. For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and will seek them out. As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he's among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all the places where they've been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. This time period right here, notice that's a reference to this. The cloudy and dark day, they're scattered. He says, I'm going to regather them. Look at verse 13. And I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries and will bring them, notice, to their own what? Land. And feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in a good pasture, and upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There shall they lie in a good fold, and in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. I will seek that which was lost, and bring again that which was driven away, and will bind up that which was broken, and will strengthen that which was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong. I will feed them with judgment. You hear the first part of that verse a lot of times applied to today. You know, I'm going to seek that which was lost, bring again that which was driven away, bind up that which was broken, strengthen that which was sick. You'll hear a lot of health and wealth preachers, you know, use a verse like that, which, you know, that verse really, it has nothing to do with us today. You saw the context. He's talking about how he's going to regather the believing remnant, the flock, the sheep of Israel. He's going to bring them into their land area right here, and there they will be established, never to be removed from that area ever again. Let's see. Let's go real quickly to trying to decide which way to take you here. Let's go to the right a few books through Daniel, and go through Hosea, go through Joel to Amos. Amos chapter 9. Amos 9. Go to the right a couple of books to Amos chapter 9. And look at verse 14. Amos 9, 14. And I will bring again the captivity of my people of Israel. And they shall build the waste cities and inhabit them. And they shall plant vineyards and drink the wine thereof. They shall also make gardens and eat the fruit of them. And I will plant them upon their what? Land. And they shall no more be pulled up out of their land, which I have given them, saith the Lord thy God. Y'all believe God's word? Say amen. Amen. He's going to do it, folks, just as sure as you're sitting there. All right, now run back with me to... let's see, go back to Isaiah. You're going to go to the left, back through Ezekiel and through Jeremiah. A lot of chapters there. Find Isaiah. And let's go to chapter 11. Isaiah 11. Isaiah 11. Look at verse number 10. Isaiah 11, verse 10. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek. Remember, all the Gentile nations are going to have to come and worship. And his rest shall be glorious. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left. Talking about the Jews that have been scattered. They've been scattered. Notice all the countries they've been scattered to. From Assyria, from Egypt, from Pathros, from Cush, from Elam, from Shinar, from Hamath, and from the islands of the sea. And he shall set up an ensign for the nations. And notice this. Shall assemble the outcasts of Israel and gather together the dispersed of Judah. That's again Israel. From the four corners of the earth. When God brings Israel back into their land area right here, and Christ is ruling and reigning as their Messiah in Jerusalem, he is going to fulfill what we call the new covenant. Turn with me, go to the next book to the right, Jeremiah. Go to Jeremiah chapter 31. Jeremiah 31. It's the next book to the right. Jeremiah 31. Jeremiah 31, and let's start reading in verse 31. Jeremiah 31, 31. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Now look up here. Remember, the nation of Israel got split into two kingdoms. You had the kingdom of Israel, they were called Israel, and that was the 10 northern tribes. But then you had the two southern tribes of Israel down here, that was a separate kingdom, they were called Judah. So whenever you see Judah, or that's one and the same, it's still Israel. It's still overall the nation of Israel. It's the Jews, okay? So notice he says here in verse 31, he's going to establish a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them, saith the Lord. Go back with me now. Look up here. And look at the basic timeline. Can we bring that up, the basic timeline? Okay, what do we call that right there? The old what? Testament. God gave Israel the law. Remember this morning? Over 600 commandments. Did Israel succeed in keeping the law? Yes or no? No, they broke it. Over and over and over and over again, they broke it. They did not keep it. Okay, they broke the Old Testament. They broke that covenant agreement that they made with God. So he said, I'm going to make a new covenant. I'm going to make a new agreement with you, not like the one that you broke back there when I brought you out of Egypt. Look at verse 33. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. Here's the new covenant. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Look down at verse 36. If those ordinances depart from before me, saith the Lord, then the seed of Israel also shall cease from being a nation before me forever. Thus saith the Lord, if heaven above can be measured, and the foundation of the earth searched out beneath, I will also cast off all the seed of Israel for all that they have done, saith the Lord. What he's doing there is he's using an analogy, and he's bringing out the point, no, I'm not going to cast them off. No, I am going to fulfill this covenant. Because in verse 35, he says, you know, thus saith the Lord, which giveth the sun for light by day, and the ordinances of the moon and stars by night, which divides the Lord of hosts, if those ordinances depart. In other words, if the sun quit shining, the moon stopped, then he says, then okay, yep, then maybe I would not fulfill this covenant with them. But as long as the sun is shining and the moon still shines, then and the stars are still there, you can know I am going to fulfill my covenant agreement that I have made with the nation of Israel. So look up here. When Christ comes back down here to the earth, okay, when Christ comes back down here at the revelation, question, will he establish a literal kingdom on this earth? Yes or no? Yes. What will be the center? What city is the center of Christ's kingdom? Jerusalem. What nation is he going to regather the believing flock and bring them into that land area? What nation? Israel. Is all that going to happen literally? Absolutely. Just like the Bible said. Now, here's what's cool. You look at the nations out there today, and would you all agree with me, there's a lot of wickedness right now among the nations. Wickedness. But I want you to look with me up here at Psalm 72:11, and I want to show you this. Can we bring that up? Notice when Christ comes back, the Bible prophesies, all kings shall fall down before him. I want to see that. Amen? All nations shall what? Serve him. His name shall endure forever. His name shall be continued as long as the sun. And men shall be blessed in him. All nations shall call him blessed. Whew. You looking forward to that, huh? Man, I'm looking forward to seeing that. You know, and I know we're going to occupy the heavenly places. We're going to have a home in heaven. But I tell you one thing, buddy. I just believe that with our glorified bodies, we're going to have X-ray vision from heaven. Amen. And we're going to be watching all this from heaven. And you know what? You may not be a shouter right now, but I think you're going to be a shouter when you get to heaven. And when you see all the kings and all the nations serving the Lord Jesus Christ, and you see this earth with His kingdom ruling and reigning over it, I believe that we are going to be shouting from heaven. Amen. We're going to be saying, glory, hallelujah. Because righteousness and justice will prevail on the earth. His kingdom will be a kingdom of righteousness and justice. Up on the screen, I'm going to bring up Psalm 72:7, where the Bible says that in His days, talking about Christ, in His days shall the righteous flourish and abundance of peace so long as the moon endureth. He says in His kingdom, the righteous shall flourish. Righteousness and justice will prevail. Go back to Jeremiah 23. Just go back a few chapters. Jeremiah 23. Look at verse 5. It says, behold, Jeremiah 23, verse 5. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch. Notice it's a capital B. Now, who do you think it is that comes from the loins of David and is called the righteous branch? Who do you think that is? Yeah, it's Jesus. And a king, capital K, that's King Jesus, shall reign and prosper. And notice what He's going to do in His kingdom. He shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In His days, Judah shall be saved and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is the name whereby He shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. Folks, as you look at the earth today, would you all agree with me that the justice system... would you all agree with me they get it wrong a lot? When Christ returns to the earth, righteousness and justice will prevail at last. His kingdom will be a kingdom of righteousness. No longer are you going to have people, you know, that do atrocities and then they sit in prison for years and years and years on taxpayer-funded monies, you know, and then finally they get off on a technicality. Folks, that's not going to happen anymore. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm thankful for, you know, what just... I mean, if we didn't have any justice system, we would really have chaos on the earth. So don't get me wrong. I'm thankful. And I know they can't be perfect. But you know as well as I do, there's a lot of corruption out there. Money talks. And you see a lot of people that are guilty as the day is long and they get off because they got a slick attorney or they've got a lot of money or they've got connections or they got pull here or there, or you see somebody convicted and then some politician grants them amnesty, immunity, yeah, and you see them go scot-free. All I can do is tell you this: when Christ comes back, it will not be that way anymore. Jesus Christ is the righteous King. And there will be a theocratic rule of God on the earth like this earth has never seen before. And righteousness and justice will prevail on this earth. The Bible says the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord. The earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord. You say, well, Pastor Dan, but what about Satan? And what about the devil? And is he going to have any role, you know, when Christ's kingdom is on earth? And you say, Pastor Dan, then why is it at the end of that 1,000-year kingdom, why do you see so many people rebel against Christ. Because if you know your Bible, you know there'll be a multitude that rebel against Christ and are judged. Why does that happen? You know, if that is true. Well, I don't have time to tell you tonight. But next Sunday night, we'll finish this up, okay? So let's stop there for tonight.